Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move!
LeBron James with no regard for human life. Final seconds. Bryant for the win.
Bang! Iverson against Gill, the crowd on its feet. Allen for the win.
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? It's Mike from the Sneaker History Podcast, and you know, since I'm running a solo show today, we got a Coffee Time Kicks episode, and I got a very, very special guest. You may know him as Young Corey online on Instagram, but you also may know him as the founder of Circulade, or, you know what, you see some cool stuff he's doing with Nike. So, Corey, what's going on, my man? How you doing today?
What's up, brother? How you feeling? Thank you so much for having me, man. You know, I haven't done a lot of podcasts. I'm usually very selective, but you seem super cool, and I like what you guys are doing with all the sneaker history stuff. So, you know, I had to pop in.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. We love having guests on, man, especially people doing awesome things like you in the sneaker community and just all the, like, creative things you're doing. And, man, I appreciate you spending some time with me today.
Of course, man. It's an honor, man. Thank you so much for having me here.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. So I've been starting to ask this to people as we do the Coffee Time Kicks. You know, whether you're going to get coffee, maybe some matcha, some tea, whatever you fancy, what's your shoe of choice? What are you putting on right now to go grab that quick little bit of caffeine or just take a break from the work?
Man, as of right now, my rotation, you know, I'm usually trying to just wear whatever's new. Mm-hmm. Right now, my rotation, I've been wearing the orange Air Max 95s a lot. Yeah. Nice. I just got a pair of Undefeated 4s, been running those a lot. Actually got a really cool pair that's new called the Ava Rovers. Have you heard about
yeah,
those?
Yeah, yeah.
Got a pair of those. Those are super comfy. So those might be my morning, you know, go to get coffee shoes.
Nice. They remind me when I look at them initially, the React 87s.
Yep.
I haven't tried them on yet, but I mean, I'm sure this one has React X in it, right?
React X. Yep.
Yeah. So I'm sure they're super comfortable. And I was like, man, I might have to try these. I love the React 87s. That was like one of my favorite shoes back in the day.
Yeah, the Ava Rover's got the same vibe. And it's got, obviously, you said like that React technology in there. But it has like this like kind of like bone thing on the side. I got a black and bone pair.
Yeah.
I think this like bone looking thing on the side. And it kind of reminds me of those like, I think they were like Halloween Air Forces with like the skeleton bone.
Foot, yeah.
Yeah, so like I was super intrigued by that. There's another like red and like cream color that was really mm-hmm. cool. Too, but yeah, those are pretty dope. You know, I usually leave shoes like that by my door as well, just to like run those quick errands. You know what I mean? Whether that's like walking down for coffee or just like going to get some food, because I live in a super walkable neighborhood, so
okay.
I'm always walking. But you know, anytime I get to stunt the flashier stuff, you know, I will.
That's awesome, man. I mean, I'm jealous because I'm in Houston and nothing's walkable where I live. So I don't get that. Just, let me walk around. It's like, let me get in a car. Let me drive.
Yeah. You know, LA is not crazy walkable. I guess it also depends on like what area you live in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like over here on the west side. So, you know, we got a lot of great food and coffee stuff, coffee spots and stores and things like that near me. So I'm always walking, man. My car actually doesn't get driven ever, to be honest with you.
That's awesome, man. Save some gas money, especially out there in California. My brother lives out there, and them gas prices are wild, man. I don't know how y'all do it.
Super crazy out here, man. And just saving your miles in traffic, man. That traffic will take you, 2 hours just to go, you know, 2 miles. So
yeah, man.
Put that at all costs.
Yeah, you're not lying, but shoot. Now, we talk about sneakers. You have your own fashion brand and rooted in streetwear.
Yeah.
Like, we gotta start with one to get to the other. Where did the love of sneakers come from? When did that become like something you became rooted in?
It's funny, I knew you were gonna ask this question to start off today, so I was like, damn, like, where does my sneaker journey actually really start? But like, to be honest, man, my grandma, rest in peace, we were going on a trip to Las Vegas, mm-hmm. and she's like, yo, like, we're going to Las Vegas. Back in the day when like Adventure Dome, Circus was popping. She used to drop me off at Adventure Dome and like, you know, go gamble and stuff like that. But like, you gotta get like, you know, we gotta get you some fresh shoes for this Vegas trip. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we hit like a swap meet back in the day, and I think it was the first time that the Fire Red 5s had retroed.
Okay.
And I just remember distinctively like being a little kid. I don't remember what age I was, but I was really young, and I just remember like getting those and like just like how I treated them and like, you know, took real good care of them, was like always cleaning them off and stuff. And I think that like I could really pinpoint that as like the first time that I really had like some like nice like name brand sneakers. Mm-hmm. And yeah, from there, you know, I just always loved Jordan. Like when you go to school, everybody else always had like fast forward a little bit to like middle school, like everyone always had the new Jordans. And like, you know, whether it be my grandma or my mom, she always made sure, you know, that I had the new Jordans or like at least tried to or had something adjacent. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So,
you know, if you was going to school back then and you didn't have the latest and the greatest, like you might get clowned. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So yeah, I think I could really pinpoint that moment is like when I really became like someone that was into sneakers. Before that, you know, I was a little bit too young and I was probably just wearing whatever my mom put me in. But I have, you know, like super young kid photos that my mom, you know, sends me from time to time. And I'm wearing like, you know, full Nike sweatsuits with like, you know, random Nike. I don't even know the models, but this is like, you know, 90s models and Nike, yeah, like that. But like my earliest memory would probably be those Fire Red 5s. And I think that really just like, you know, it made my love for Jordan, because, you know, I grew up in LA, so I wasn't, yeah, and I was super young when like all the Jordan stuff was happening. So, I think I really like learned to love Michael Jordan through the shoes, not necessarily watching him on TV play basketball.
Sure.
But yeah, as I got older, you know, I learned to, you know, love sneakers more and just the culture behind it and like the conversations that it brought. And yeah, we could fast forward a little bit, but yeah, that really got me into like sneaker forums.
And okay.
From sneaker forums like Nike Talk and like, yeah, ISS and like, I forgot what the NSB.org,
mm-hmm,
that got me into like streetwear and Nike SB. And Nike, okay, SB is like, I feel like when I really, really, really started to like, you know, get like honed in on sneakers and paying attention to like, you know, limited sneakers and like Code Japan and like learning about other things that weren't Jordan, because like Nike SB really brought me into like forum culture, like looking to, yeah, forums and like educating myself on that stuff.
Nice, man. No, I
could talk forever, so I didn't want to.
Oh no, man! I'm here for you. So that's awesome. No, I love hearing that. So like, it's funny. I feel like we have like a very similar story in the sense of how we came to love sneakers. Just like you remember that one specific pair being young, and then it just kind of fed into it more and more as you got older. And then, like I said, Nike SB was always interesting to me when I was younger because I grew up in a small town and we didn't have access to Nike SBs at all. But seeing them, I really started paying attention to them more. It had to be, I guess, what year was that? Was it 2005?
Yeah.
When Lupe Fiasco dropped Kick Push. He had mentioned them in a song.
Yeah.
And I seen some other things. I'm like, okay, well, my favorite rapper mentions them. Let me, like, then, again, dive into forums and trying to learn as much as I can about them. But it's just, like, it's such a – I feel like Nike SB –
is the core of a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And it, like, kicked people's love off even more because they were so different. And it wasn't just, like, the Jordan, which we all love.
Yeah.
But the SB had this, like, really cool personality to it. Okay. And I feel like people gravitated more, and that just kind of, like, kind of ramped up that love for sneakers for people in the era.
So another piece of me is that I also grew up skateboarding since, like, you know, I think I started skateboarding in, like, 1999, like, maybe 2000.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so, like, you know, when you're a skateboarder, obviously, like, back then, Nike SB, like, pre-Nike SB, it was, like, you either wear skate shoes or, mm-hmm, you know, and that's what you're skating in. But for me, I was, like, such a Jordan head at that time. It was, like, in middle school, elementary school. And in middle school, like, you get clowned for wearing skate shoes. Like, all the black kids, they don't, yep, understand skateboarding culture, and all the white kids don't understand, like, the whole, like, hype Jordan culture. And for me, it was, like, you know, I grew up in, like, Leimert Park area, and there wasn't many black skateboarders back then. This is, like, mm-hmm, late 90s, early 2000s, mm-hmm, and, you know, it wasn't as big as it is today to be a black skateboarder. Like, you know, we had Kareem Campbell and like Stevie was around, and like, you know, Shiloh Greathouse and like a couple of guys. Like, there's like, you can kind of pinpoint like a lot of the black skateboarders, like Javante Turner.
Yeah.
But there wasn't this like massive influx of black skateboarders as it is now. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just remember like, you know, being into skater things got me made fun of. But then like wearing Jordans around, like my skater friends are like, what the hell are those? You know what I mean? So, when Nike SB really came out, it just was like, you know, damn, like the merging of both my worlds into one. You know what I mean? Now I don't have to be embarrassed to wear those DCs or those Adios or those Circas or whatever it is around either group. You know what I mean? So I think that was another thing about Nike SB that just like really had me gravitate towards it. Mm-hmm. And then when they built out the team and like seeing all those guys like skating like Supreme Dunks and like, you know, Supreme Dunks and just all the rare classics that we love. Like, it was just so cool to see. And especially back then, the hype wasn't as big as it is today, obviously, yeah. You know what I mean? But like, just like even going back and looking at that stuff, it's like so cool to see P-Rod, like, you know, doing like a switch frontside flip down like a 12 stair and some Supreme Dunks or some Bucks or something like that. You know what I mean? And like, also just really love the stories behind all the colorways. Yeah. Like that was just chef's kiss in itself, you know what I mean? And I think that really opened my eyes like to storytelling, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. obviously Jordan, like a lot of the Jordan shoes are built around like his moments and his storytelling, but it was cool to see Nike SB, you know, take something like Oregon and Phil Knight and put mm-hmm. his nickname on the back of the shoe, like trying to think of some older, like the Paris Dunks, like just different things like that. The way that they were able to like take those stories and then also integrate it into skateboarding, that was just like, that was it for me. That was all I needed to see.
Yeah, no, definitely. And, man, I laugh. Me and you would have been best friends in school because same way, I was never good at skateboarding, but I tried my best. And no, same thing. It's like kind of in between like both cultures. Like, black kids think it's weird. Yep. Skater kids is like, well, you still like Jordans. Like, again, it's like you found yourself kind of an anomaly among your peers. I love now that we have so many like black skaters and black kids who are interested in skating now. Yep.
All my homies, black skaters, not Kel Smith, Ashad Ware, Naja Yee, Tyshawn Jones. Like, it's some heavy hitters, man. Skateboarding is like, from when I was a kid till now, it's like, it's so dope that there's so many black skaters that, like, you know, kids like me, like, that grow up like me, they could look up to, you know what I mean? And, like, and it's not only that, it's, like, these guys are, like, making, like, real careers out of this stuff now. Like, you know what I mean? When I was growing up skating, like, there wasn't much money in it. Like,
it was a hobby, basically.
Corporate wasn't really involved in it yet. And, like, you know, you just kind of did it for the love and, like, you know, it's not necessarily a team activity, but it was like, you know, if you have friends that skated, you guys were all like getting together on the weekends. Like, we used to have like, you know, like five of us, and we would catch the bus from my neighborhood all the way to like, you know, all around LA to go to famous skate spots that we had seen in magazines and stuff like that. So like,
that's dope.
You know what I mean? Like, now in 2025, it's like, you know, there's literally millionaires, like, you know what I mean? Like, millionaire black kids that are like, you know, transcending the sport. And just like, it's so tight to see, man, and like so cool. Mm-hmm. And like, people with brands and things like that, skate brands and stuff like that. Like, I'm not sure if you're familiar with like Tyshawn and Nakel. Yep. Like, they have their they got Hardys and they got King, and like, you know, they're doing their thing, and it's like really cool to see them like make a living off of skateboarding.
Yeah. And so with your love of skateboard, of course, love of sneakers, did that play a part in Circulate? How was
100%, man? So like, through sneaker forms, specifically Hypebeast forms, I discovered things like Diamond Supply Co. and the 100th, you know what I mean? And like, I think those two really played a huge role in like who I am today, you know what I mean? Like, when I was younger, I remember like Nick Diamond would hop in the Hypebeast forms and like reply to us and talk to us and stuff like that. And I remember I went as so far as to, like, I used to hit him up on MySpace and like have conversations with him there. And then when I started hanging out on Fairfax, you know, I used to like hang out in front of their stores and like have real relationships with these guys. And like, you know what I mean? Just seeing them and the way that they were like, you know, it's another thing, like having a living through making t-shirts and clothes. Like, when I was a kid, like that wasn't a huge thing. Like, you know, having a clothing brand, you weren't making millions of dollars, especially like a street skateboarding clothing brand. You weren't making millions of dollars off that. So like, me working at Diamond and like, you know, seeing how Nick built his empire and like being able to, you know, support his family off of making t-shirts was like the biggest inspiration to me. And like, you know, I got to see it firsthand, being there and like interning, from hanging out to interning to like actually working there and seeing like his success and seeing Bobby and Ben's success. And like, that really inspired me to like start my own thing.
It's dope, man. I mean,
it's kind of all I know, man, to be honest with you. like clothing, sneakers, skateboarding. Like, you know, if I wasn't in the position that I'm in right now and I had to start all over tomorrow, I'd be like kind of tripping out because, you know, I never went to like, you know, college or anything like that. And like, you know, I don't really, I don't know what kind of field I would be in if I wasn't like doing my own thing, maybe like marketing or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just literally like, this is all I know, man. I tell myself that all the time. I'm like, I got really lucky to be in the position that I'm in because I couldn't see myself like doing any other type of job. You know what I mean?
Definitely. And it's funny because it's one of those things is that back then, because let's see, I graduated high school in 2011. So I'm 36 now. And I think it's a thing of where it was always go to school, get a degree, get a job.
Yep.
And now it's like, hey, at the age of 10, you can start doing all these crazy things. It's like, I feel like this world is so much bigger now than it was. But Corey, people like you who really like, again, you knew what you loved. You took a chance when it wasn't the popular thing to do. It speaks a lot in saying how successful you are. I mean, you're going into, you know, 7 years of owning a brand. You've been doing this, creating, you knew what you wanted. And staying that path, that's a lot of people won't endure the bumpy roads that get there. I mean, what was one of the or some of the biggest things you kind of encountered in creating Circulate? Was there anything that ever could have, if it would have went another way, to stop the brand completely?
Yeah, man, I'm not even gonna sugarcoat it. It's still bumpy roads and things that I have to navigate every day, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I kind of just, you know, I was never formally taught how to run a business. You know what I mean? It's like, thank God that I have mentors and like, you know, people that are surrounding me that are successful that I can, you know, reach out to for advice and things like that. But for the most part, man, it's kind of like, I just threw myself in the fire and been figuring it out as I go along. And, you know, as you get bigger, things start to get bigger and the problems start to get bigger. Like sometimes I tell myself, I feel like a fireman every day I wake up and it's like something I have to figure out. But it's like, you know, at the end of the day, this is something that I want to do. And like, you know, I want longevity in this. And like, you know, I'm really passionate about it. And I think that's what really keeps me going. But it's just like, just the business side of things. Yeah. And, you know what I mean? Like anyone and everyone, I feel like is creative. But when it comes to like business, there's a lot of things that you have to learn and a lot of things that you have to set yourself up for. Like I just had a call, you know, like 30 minutes ago and someone was asking me about like if I own my trademark and I was like, yeah, of course. But it's like things like that, like some of these, you know, younger brand owners and things like that, they don't even own their trademarks because no one told them like how to do that or like how to go about that process or like who to reach out to, where to do it. But, you know, luckily in the big 2025, we got the internet and like, you know, you can, and learn anything on the internet. I feel like because the information is there, but imagine, you know, starting a brand 20 years ago when that information was available, you know what I mean? Or doing anything like that. But yeah, man, I mean, there's still stuff every day that I'm navigating and figuring out as we get bigger like that. It's not all rainbows and butterflies. And like, I think, you know, with my platform and with my following, I try to show that all the time that it's just not always good. You know what I mean? Like, don't get me wrong. I have a lot of fun and I get to do a lot of cool stuff and, you know, participate and collaborate and events and all that stuff through Circulate and all that stuff. But there's times where it sucks, bro, where I'm like, damn, I forget how to do X, Y, and Z or fit, you know, this X into this circle. You know what I mean? It's not always fun. And I think that's the misconception that, you know, younger people see or other people see that they just like, you know, they could pick up a design and put it on a t-shirt and that's the end all be all. It's like, no, there's 10 more steps that you missed in between that go into, you know, getting that final product. And, you know, I like to be really transparent and show that process and show the wins and show the losses because at the end of the day, it's not easy, man. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. You know what I mean?
You're not lying, man. And I like how you said that because a lot of times now with social media being so prevalent and that's like everyone goes to that for information, there's definitely this facade that's put up by people who are successful or at least want to give the appearance of being successful. They don't put the hard times, they don't put the losses, they don't put the struggle. They will just go in and say, oh, I did this, look at the good thing. And it gives people this false idea that, oh, okay, I can create this t-shirt, I'll be a millionaire in 6 weeks. Where you're given a real life perspective, like, hey, this is what it is, this is what I'm dealing with, good, bad, or ugly.
And honestly, shit, if you make $1 million in a week, you got really lucky, man.
Right?
Actually, I think now in like the big 2025, you know, there's an oversaturation of everyone thinking that they can do a brand. So it's like, you got to figure out like, how do you stand out between the noise? You know what I mean? And how do you present yourself, your stuff and what you're doing as authentic? Because at the end of the day, like, yeah, anyone can create a brand, but if it's not coming from an authentic place, it's not going to last. You know what I mean? Because you need to speak your story through your product, and like, people need to connect with you and have that emotional connection, or like, oh damn, I remember that too, or I went through that too. You know what I mean? I think those are the important elements of having a brand. It's like, why are you doing it if it doesn't stand for anything, or if it doesn't mean anything? You know what I mean? But I think nowadays people just, you know, they see it as a money grab, or like, you know, just something to make money quick. But I think at the end of the day, it's not that easy, man.
Yeah. And authenticity I feel like it's in short supply lately, because everyone's trying to appease the algorithm, trying to appease big brands. It's not just, hey, be you. Be your authentic self, and that audience will find you. Whether it's a huge audience, maybe it's not as big of an audience, but you will have a true following if you're yourself, because you'll have like-minded people or people you have intrigued to follow you. But it's not a, hey, let's all be cookie cutter, because there's so many brands, there's so many podcasts, there's so many YouTube channels, fill in the blank, and they're all trying to do the same thing.
And I believe in slow and steady wins the race still, man. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? I'd rather have, you know, 30,000 followers that really like me and like really are in tune with what I'm doing, versus having a million followers and it's like all over the place because I'm trying to appease this person and that person.
Yes.
So like, I don't know. I feel like, you know, I always live by that quote, like, you know, you build it and they'll come. And and that's kind of what I live by, man. Just like, I don't need to grow super fast, because what that does is like, you know, once you get to a certain point, it's only down. Like, you know what I mean? Like, when you're going up too fast, it's just a big rocket ship and it has to come back down at some point. So it's like, I'd rather go slow and steady and take it easy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely, man. And I love that. That's kind of, again, one of the things I live by, because the thing is, people are like, oh, I want to go viral, whatever it is they're doing. Like, no, you don't, because guess what? It's only the fall from there at that point. There's no build. It's like, you have to keep sustaining this 100%. Thing you found by accident. You don't want to find, it's nice to get an opportunity, but you want to be able to prepare yourself for the opportunity so you can sustain. That's what
like
people
being
don't understand.
A new artist and having a hit song like right off the bat, and it's like, you got to keep chasing that hit song, and then what happens is, what do? They keep using that same formula, try to make that same song, and it's going to turn out the same every single time. So it's like, I don't know. It's funny because when I first started, I had a couple shirts that actually did really well. You know, I'm talking like, we're selling like 500.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
and I actually, for those shirts, I did like maybe like two reruns or whatever, but I didn't want to keep making that shirt because I don't want to be only known for that shirt. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I want to show you other things. And like, you know, if we can make that one, we'll make another one just as good. But like, I didn't want to just get like boxed into being the guy like, oh, that's the guy that did that shirt. You know what I mean? we didn't keep. You know, you can forever run that, but people are going to get tired of it. You know what I mean? I want to show you that we're more than just that one design.
Well, definitely. Now, where do you find your core audience is when it comes to the brand?
Honestly, just tapping in with like-minded individuals, man. And like, I think my biggest superpower is that I'm like super approachable, and like, you know, even on the internet, like I respond to everybody. And I think the internet has been like my biggest tool with having the brand, because you're like, you can connect directly with people. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's what was so special about someone like Virgil, right? It's like, He was talking to everybody and responding to everybody, and like, you had access to him. Yeah. And, you know, as a consumer of something, like, that makes me feel special that I can talk to the direct source. It's like, you know what I mean? If I love Coca-Cola, I can't DM Coca-Cola and have a whole conversation about why I love it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I kind of just like took that, not necessarily took that from him, but like, just like that reflected upon me from him is like just building relationships. And I think that's what my real superpower in life is like, and why I know so many people and have so many relationships is because, you know, I'm just like the person that, like, you know, I'm super approachable. I know how to make friends really easy. And like, I think the internet has helped me with that. You know what I mean? I got friends in, you know, Australia or something, but relationships started on the internet, and I've met them in real life and all that stuff. And I think that's how I've been able to like build the core of our brand, is just like, you know, these relationships and like having internet friends and just being active on the internet in general, like things like Twitter, like all of Sneaker Twitter, like I've been keeping up with all those guys and making friends with them, and they support me really like a lot.
That's awesome.
And I don't know. I just, the internet has been really a real helpful tool in like building our audience.
Funny you say that, because we actually were having a conversation a while ago. So I know Hoss from my first Kicks Pod. Yeah. Hoss, Andy, AD Sneaks, and then Aaron, Front Page. And we were having a discussion earlier about the difference in like the internet now and then when we were talking about forums.
Yeah.
And how internet then really prompted a lot of actual like friendships, relationships, in the sense of maybe meetups, because internet conversations weren't as like, they didn't last as long as like, oh, okay, cool, I'll meet you here, we'll, you know, boom, we're friends now.
I'll take it from there.
And then now it's more like, again, it's only the internet, and you're not getting as much true personalized communication. You've used it for good, and you've been able to actually communicate and build true relationships. But do you see the differences in between both eras, and which one, I guess, do you prefer of the two?
Well, I think now, in my opinion, you know, I still see something like Twitter as a forum, right? It's a, it's a forum for conversation. It's an open dialogue, and it's like whatever your algorithm is tapped into, then and your interest, you're going to find like-minded people like you, and you're able to have an open dialogue with them right then and there. I think nowadays, though, with all of that stuff, I think that just you know, there's it's funny. I was having this conversation with Kari this morning. And it's just about, like, you know, the tourists and the purists, right?
Yeah.
So now in sneakers, you get all these, like, I guess what we would call them, the tourists, where they're just, like, they're the new guys. And, like, you know, they're new to this. They just started collecting, you know, X, Y, and Z years ago. But, you know, you can't hold that against them, right? They're just they're just like you. You got to start somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they remember their version of, like, when they started collecting and what was cool and blah, 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 blah. Then you have the purists, which is like you and I. We started collecting SB way back in the day. We were on the forums. We were doing this and that. You know what I mean? But I feel like sometimes the tourist is getting like shit on by the purists because they weren't there in that moment. And I think that's what's happening a lot, like in these open dialogue conversations, is everyone's kind of arguing about who was what, who was there.
Yeah.
And it's pretty elitist, I mean, at the end of the day. But I feel like we should be educating the tourists, you know what I mean, as the purists. And we should be coming together and teaching each other things instead of gatekeeping and like being like, oh, man, you weren't there, so your opinion's not valid, blah, 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 blah. I think it's more so better to educate them and remind them and show them like, yo, this was that and this was that. It doesn't necessarily mean their opinion is invalid. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Yeah, I still look at like, you know, I look at Twitter or something like the old forums. I mean, obviously a lot of people aren't linking up IRL as much as they should, but I think we get these events like Complex Con and you know, the Black Sneaker Forum and like, you know, whatever events are going on in your city. I think those are our meetups and those are our connection points, you know what I mean, where we can connect IRL. It's just a little bit different, but kind of the same.
Yeah, and something I keyed in on what you said is that it's the, we got to be understanding of people's journey, where they are. Like, you got to meet them where they are, because I think what happens is people who started collecting recently, I think they get assumed upon that, oh, you're a reseller. You just did this for, you saw people were getting famous online. It's like, well, no, maybe they finally got finances together where they can start buying shoes. They've actually always been interested, but now they can actually purchase them. So it is, I never understood that, because we ought to start somewhere.
Yeah, I don't like it, man. A lot of people, even with celebrities, right? For example, like, I'm really good friends with, like, Lil Yachty. And, like I remember when his shoe was coming out and his the talks of him doing a Nike and things like that. Yeah. People were, like, trying to say he's not deserving of that. He's not a real sneaker collector. He just got rich and bought a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you, bro. Yachty will educate all of these dudes on sneakers. He got stuff in his collection that I don't even know about. Like, I'm talking like Nike, like archive, like models and stuff that you like, pure models and things like that. That, like, he really knows about, you know what I mean? And his collection is like OD. Like, nobody, like, there's not a lot of people touching his collection. And it's just like, he actually is a sneakerhead. Like, he might even be more sneakerhead than me because he knows, like, stuff that I don't even know. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. Oh, people came out here. This is an ACG from, you know, whatever year.
Bring out the old stuff, deep cuts.
Deep cuts. And I'm like, bro, I do not know what you're talking about. But I think because he's a celebrity and, like, you know, they haven't been following his journey since he came out. They think that, like, you know, someone like that is, you know, just in it because he's got a bunch of money and he can go find whatever he wants now and just buys it. But it's like, that's the kind of things I'm talking about when, like, you know, the OG sneaker heads on the internet and things like that, they try to, like, shit on people like that, but they don't even know. Even someone like Keith Lee, man, like, I've been hanging out with Keith Lee a lot.
Oh, nice.
And are just talking to him, you know, we have phone conversations, and he's, like, a huge sneaker head. His collection is also crazy, and he's just, like, he talks to me, and he's like, oh, yeah, like, you know, I always wanted these back in blah, 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 and, like, it's so crazy to have this, and, like, breaking down the shoe and telling me, like, X, Y, and Z, and it's, like, he's really passionate about sneakers, too, but there's people that would shit on him. They would be like, oh, yeah. You know what I mean? And I think those are the conversations and things that need to stop. And, like, you know what I mean? Like, we got a community here. Like, let's welcome everyone in. Of course, there's going to be a bunch of bad seeds and action, but it's always been like that, right? Like, reselling has been a thing since the beginning of time, man. Like, I remember, I mean, it's obviously changed because there's more money in it and you know, things like that. But I remember, you know, hitting the plug at Champs back in the day. And, you
know, a couple bucks extra to get that early.
Item of extra $50 and you get a secure pair or whatever. Or, you know, somebody's selling you sneakers on Nike Talk and you're sending them a money order or whatever it is. But it's like, you know, reselling isn't new, man. This has been around since the beginning of time. And there's always going to be guys like that. And, you know, it's capitalism. Somebody's always going to figure out a way to
always going
to
do it,
man. So, like, I don't know. We can always weed out the bad players, but I think, you know, we can't gatekeep so hard. Like, this thing of ours that we all love, it's cool, man. Everyone should be able to get to enjoy it, even if they started collecting yesterday or they started collecting today. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I feel like we should be welcoming. Like you said, those who you know who are not in it for the passion, they're just trying to exploit, you know, said culture. Yeah, that's the people you can easily spot, and then you move away from them. But we can't put a stamp on, hey, you had to start collecting 10 years ago or before 2020. Yeah, it's like, you can't do that because not everybody's financially set up for that. 100%. But people can love sneakers. People don't understand you can love something without owning it. Like, I love cars. I can't go out and buy a Ferrari right now, but I can love it from far away, you know what I mean?
Man, and you gotta also think a lot of these people are young, bro. Like, some of the, like, I see people posting, like, it's funny sometimes, I laugh myself. People are like, oh man, remember old SBs, and they're posting, like, you know, the remake of De La Soul Lows or something. And I'm like, bro, those aren't even the real De La Souls. The high top ones were green, you know what I mean? But it's just like, I'm not gonna shit on them for that. That's the period that they remembered, you know what I mean? But I don't know. We just got to be a little bit more welcoming and friendly. But all in all, I love our little sneaker community. Like, all of them show me mad love. And, like, you know, a bunch of them are different characters. And I love that. But, yeah, shout out to all the sneaker Twitter people, man. I love all y'all.
Yeah, man. I definitely see you active on Twitter, too. So you jumped in some spaces. You're always a part of it. That's really cool. Because some people, they're like, you know, maybe I'm – once I have connections here, I don't want to be a part of this anymore. I'm up here. But I love how you're still, like, even with success.
At the end of the day, bro, like, I own a brand, man. So, like, I like to keep my ear to the streets on everything, bro. Yeah. Whether it's keeping up, watching Twitch streamers and seeing what they're doing, or, like, you know, hopping into spaces on sneaker Twitter and see what they're talking about, or, like, you know, discovering new clothing brands or who's and blah, blah, blahs, or going to Fashion Week and doing this. I like to know everything, man. I think it's important as a brand owner to, like, be tapped into everything and know about everything that's going on, because that's how you keep a pulse on the culture, man. Like, it's very important.
Very smart. No, very well said, because that's 100% right, because you can't go out here and once you, like, oh, I found some level of success, just, like, ignore the base. Like, hey, these are the people who rock with me. These are people who are supporting me. I have to know what is important to them. And that is, I think people lose that in the shuffle. Like, once they hit that first X amount of sales, they're like, cool, I'm just going to, like you say, I'm going to just keep producing the same thing over and over. But you don't have your ear to the street, or you don't have a tap on the pulse of what's important. Yeah. And I think that has led to, you know, you saying that and looking at your, you know, your growth, that leads to that growth. So I think that's commendable to be able to still understand that.
And at the end of the day, man, I'm a regular person, man. I'm mm-hmm. just like anyone else. I love sneakers. I love streetwear. I love culture. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. like, at the end of the day, I'm not above anybody. So mm-hmm. it don't take me nothing to tap in and listen to what's going on in the space. You know what I mean?
Or yeah, man.
Active in the space. Like, I think for me, when I was younger and just seeing guys like, you know, Bobby Hundreds and Nick Diamond in the same type of situations, like interacting with the community and talking yeah. to, you know, other like-minded people like that meant a lot to me. So, like, I try to, like, carry that over. You know what I mean?
Definitely, man. Now, got to ask you, because recently you've got to work with Nike in some capacities. How has that been, man? Is that like, it's kind of like a full circle moment as being a lover, sneakers, collector, sneakerhead, and now, boom.
100%, man. Like, dude, so I've loved Nike, obviously, forever. It's like, it's what I grew up wearing. It's kind of, like, when it comes to shoes, it's kind of all I know, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I never was really an Adidas kid, or, like, I wore Vans at one point, yeah. Obviously. But other than that, my whole life has been, like, Jordans, Nikes, you know, skate shoes, for that matter. But, yeah, it's really cool. I would say, like, Nike is up there with, like, you know, probably is my favorite brand, like, ever. Just from a marketing standpoint, I just love, like, yeah. you know, how they used to market themselves with all the old ads and, like, Nike basketball and, like, running ads and, like, things like that. Always super creative. And yeah, I started off like doing focus groups with them when I was a little kid. Like,
oh, cool.
Come on Fairfax and be like, yo, you want to come do this focus group? So I used to do a lot of those when I was a kid, and even like, you know, getting and participating in things like that. It really helped me grow a relationship with them over the years. You know what I mean? And I just kind of stayed in contact and just like, you know, I've always had ambitions of working with them. So like, most recently, I don't know if you saw it, but I got to do a t-shirt for friends and family to pair with the Air Maxes that were coming out. And that was like, dude, that was like such an insane, like, yeah. you know, thing for me to like, you know, have an official like product, you know, that said my name and Nike. Like, I always told myself, like, I wanted to work with Nike so bad, like I would do anything, like a shoestring or whatever. it's just kind of been goals, you know what I mean? And like, they've been really supportive of my journey. And like, you know, even prior to that, just like anything that I've needed, like from shoes to like, you know, going to events or like, you know, just doing different little things like that, they've been super supportive. So yeah, man, full circle moment for me for sure. And, yeah, hopefully just trying to keep working with them in any capacity I can. Whenever they call, I'm answering.
Now, what's the dream project? What is, you know, if, you know, when they come calling again and they say, hey, Corey, all right, we the floor is yours. What you want to do? What's that look like for you?
Honestly, my goal and dream with them would honestly just to be a partner, man, like just to be in their orbit. Like, if we're talking product wise, like I would love to, for my first product to be maybe like a Nike SB Dunk, because it just ties back into my story, right? Circulate. It's like, it's coming full circle. It's going all the way around. And like, you know, what really like, you know, made my love for sneakers was the Nike SB Dunk. So it's like, if I ever got to do a dunk, that would be insane. And I would probably not think it was real. And it would just, you know, make my life.
That'd be awesome, man. Have you ever thought about, I don't know what this would entail, but I think it'd just be really cool as a fellow skateboard lover. But have you ever thought about starting like a Circulate team?
Man, I wanted to have more so, you know, I wanted to be involved in skateboarding, but I wanted to be like streetwear at the core.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily want a team, but I want to be able to like, you know, seed out product to my friends that skate and make a rep. You know what I mean? I don't necessarily need to retain a team. Especially in skateboarding nowadays, those guys are really expensive. A lot of those guys
like NBA players now, man, like, oh, calm down.
But it's kind of cool that, you know, like I'm not like a poser or anything. Like, I've been skateboarding forever. I could still hop on a skateboard and do my thing, you know what I mean? But like, I think it's really cool that I can like make skateboarding products and not be shunned upon or frowned upon. Cause you got to think about skateboarders, right? It's like, it's a really, tight-knit thing. Like skateboarders will call you a poser in a minute if you're doing some skateboarding shit and you're not a skateboarder, or you don't have ties to skateboarding, or you're like, you're some off the wall ass shit. Like, they're not rocking with you. But you know, if you check my past, my history, ask my friends and the homies or whoever, You know, I'm tied into skateboarding. I'm not a poser. I could still hop on a skateboard right now and hit a 360 flip or do some shit. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not on a poser shit. So I think it's really cool that I get to be, like, you know, involved in skateboarding and also involved in streetwear and, like, present that through my brand without, like, looking or coming across as a poser.
Yeah. Again, being authentic to yourself. And it cracks me up, man, because back when we were younger, like I say, it was looked upon like, oh, this is weird. Now it's like completely like, hey, if I went out there now, no matter our age, it's like, oh, that's cool. I'm like, well, thank you 20 years later. Appreciate you.
Yeah, the lines between streetwear and skateboarding are kind of blurred, you know what I mean, at this point? Because they kind of go hand in hand, right? They kind of pick off each other. And I think sneakers plays a part in that, too. It's like the big three, right? It's like streetwear, skateboarding, and sneakers. They're like, they go like this, you know, they're kind of married together. And I think, to be honest with you, I think a lot of stuff is rooted in skateboarding. I think, you know, streetwear borrows from it. And so does, like, you know, sneaker culture and things like that. And actually at the top, high fashion steals from skateboarding all the time. I think it's the core and root of a lot of fashion things. So I don't know. It's cool that, you know, I have ties to skateboarding and, like, that will always be like the core of me. But also, like, you know, sometimes you got to, like, get out that box and explore. And that's what streetwear was for me and sneakers as well.
Yeah, no, you're right. It is definitely a staple in a lot of things. A lot of inspiration comes from skateboarding when you sit and think about it, from the way clothes fit, way they look, design. Again, at all levels, from level streetwear all the way to high fashion. I mean, you got things like whatever those shoes are. Those
Runs.
They look just like the, looks like, oh my gosh, I just had like a complete brain meltdown. It's like the Balvin skate shoes, you got the Louis Vuitton skate shoes, you get all those all these things that, again, looks like the old Osiris, looks like the old DCs that we used to wear.
Yeah.
And again, now it's culturally acceptable as opposed to...
Back then, when you were wearing things that looked like that, people would clown you, bro. Like, I'll never forget, like, just feeling embarrassed wearing skate shoes to school. You know what I mean?
Oh, dude, like, let's see if I can even reach them. Hold on. So, when I was in high school, I was senior year of high school.
Yeah, ice creams?
Ice creams. Same ones from there.
That's crazy.
No one, like, I got it from a Foot Action that was closing down in my town. And were $19. I had a job and I was like, oh, cool. Okay. I worked in the mall and I had $20 on me. So I went and bought them, wore them to school. Literally, no one understood. They're like, what are you wearing? I'm like, skate shoe, you don't understand? Like, but now people are digging up for these things and like, oh, again, it's like how.
I got some crazy ice cream somewhere in my other room. But Pharrell was really also a huge part in my existence. You know what I mean? Like seeing someone that was like that was black and wasn't like you know, like Pharrell was not the rock aware Nietzsche academics, like he wasn't wearing that shit. He was wearing like tight jeans and Element shirts, and he was just a skateboarder, and like he made it okay for people like me to be acceptable, you know what I mean, and like feel comfortable in our own skin, because like you know, not a lot of black kids dress like that, and for him to like I would always say like him, Cudi, and Kanye. Like, them just being different from the normal stereotype of, like, what a black man is supposed to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always give them credit for, like, making me feel more, like, comfortable in who I am. You know what I mean? You know, you wear some skinny jeans or something back then, you get made fun of. You know what I mean? Like, and it's just funny how the trends and the cycles go and, like, how people started wearing skinny jeans. And, like, now, like, we're back to baggies, like, skateboarding baggy jeans. Like, I don't know. It's funny. But I was getting clowned for that when I was in, like, you know, middle school or high school.
Yeah, man. Yes. I mean, I love that way I can look back on those things. It's like, you know what? And even if there's like, oh, well, I don't have, we don't know you really did that. But it's like, no, I know where, like, my fashion is rooted from. You know where your fashion is rooted from. And it's really cool to see it come full circle. It's like, hey, I may be on the other end of 30, but guess what? I knew it was cool before you were doing it.
100%, man. And like, yeah, shout out to guys like Kanye, Cudi, and Pharrell, man. They were really leading the charge, especially Pharrell. Like, even seeing Pharrell go to places like Japan when I was a little kid. Like, I go to Japan all the time now, and it's just, like, watching those videos and, like, getting to experience those things now is just, like, it's insane to think about, because I was just watching him do it and, like, so inspired to, like, you know, do things like that because of him.
Yeah, and dude, that's one of my bucket list places is Japan. I look at people's videos and they go now, I'm like, I gotta go. So one place my wife and I, we wanted to go at some point.
So. Get there ASAP. So I just got back like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And on this specific trip, I actually got to go to Bakeland, which was like insane, bro. It was the craziest thing, like, to be like inside of, like from watching like videos of it from back in the day, like. I was just walking around just like, damn, man, I remember like seeing this in like YouTube videos of like when Nigo actually was here and stuff like that. And yeah, man, it's the like the Japan in itself is just like such an inspiration. Just I always just admire just like how the city works. You know what I mean? Just like when people go up escalators and like how clean it is and like no one litters and like the respect that they treat you with, the way that, you know, you hand over your money when you buy something, they like put it in a tray, you don't go hand to hand, like just like those things are really fascinating to me versus like how we operate in America. It's like so and like it'll just like change your brain, think like your brain of like how you think and like, you know, how things should work.
Yeah, that's always all I see. It's like always so clean, everyone's kind of, again, you don't see the nonsense. I mean, I'm sure you have your one-offs, but it's not like around here where everything is nonsense.
Like, bro, I got on a train and it's just completely quiet, like the whole train ride. Or like,
really?
Yes, like nobody's talking. Like it's just complete silence on a train ride. Like you could go for a walk in the middle of the night at like 2 o'clock in the morning and like there's nobody outside. It's clean as hell. It's quiet as hell. Like you see bikes. The bikes are not changed up because people don't steal there. Like it's the craziest place ever. Like it doesn't feel real, but it's like. It just really makes you think of, like, how things could be, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No, definitely, because, yeah, we went to New York a couple weeks ago, or a couple months ago, and got on a subway.
Oh, brother, I always think about, like, how a Japanese person feels, like, when they go somewhere like New York and they're seeing, like, rats crawl around and, like, how dirty the subways are. Just, like, how much different it is. It's like New York and Japan are, like, night and day, but they're, like, the same in a sense. They're like the same in a sense, but it's like night and day. It's like clean versus like, you know, dirty and like, you know what I mean? I don't know. It's crazy.
Well, shoot, man. What you got coming up? Any projects? Anything that we should be on the lookout for?
Right now, man, I'm just building right now, to be honest. Yeah. Like, this is the first time ever that I could actually say that I don't have anything, not anything coming up that I could talk about.
No, fair enough.
But yeah, I'm just... normal stuff. I'm building like 6 new collections. I got like 3 of them done already. I'm supposed to take a trip over out of seas to go work on my manufacturing so I can get all that stuff prepared for next year. But right now I'm just like taking it day by day, working in the behind the scenes, I guess, in a sense, just like building out stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, just working on like smaller projects. We'll have like a couple little drops, but nothing too crazy.
Cool, man.
But just working towards next year, man. Like, as soon as January, like, December hits, it's just, like, press the button and go.
Drop it all. Just go. Exactly.
Just ready to have the whole year planned out and just, like,
going.
But doing some little drops here and there, like, some, like, you know, one-off T-shirts and, like, little capsules. But, like, no big collections this year.
Okay. Definitely. I know everyone's going to be on the lookout. I mean, all I hear is amazing things about your brand. I personally have not gotten to try yet. I won't even lie to you. My thing is this, like, for me, the beauty of the internet is finding new things. And I found out about you, Corey, through one of our sneaker spaces. They were talking about, it was like the Air Max and the shirt. I'm like, oh crap. Then I like dug in and everything. Like, dude, he's doing some super cool stuff. And
what size shirt do you wear?
I'm a large.
Fuck, I don't know if I have any more larges, but if I have one, I'll send it to you. But
I appreciate you, man.
But yeah, no, I appreciate that. I always say, man, I don't like to force my brand upon anybody or anything like that. You'll find it when you find something you like. Yeah. But yeah, we got a bunch of cool stuff coming out, like most of the bulk of it next year. But I have some cool
stuff
that I'm doing this year. I don't know if I could talk about yet, but yeah, just gonna be doing a bunch of like little like capsule drops and things like that. But no full collections this year. Just kind of building those out. But yeah, be on the lookout, man. We out here. I'm usually like always, I'll post it on the internet. So if you need to find it and see it, it'll be there.
Oh, dude, for sure. And you guys really like, watch out what Corey's doing. He's doing some great stuff. And just,
I know what I'm doing this year.
Oh, he got it.
I'm just I'm using the brand a lot to help the community, man. I know that that word is a buzzword and, like, you know, it's, it gets thrown out around a lot. But, yeah, I just started working with this high school for their school year. It's called Simeon Tech. They're over in Watts, California.
Okay.
And, yeah, just trying to help them out as much as I can. You know what I mean? It's, like, it's not even per se me making any money or selling anybody anything, just helping those kids and, like, you know what I mean? Because I grew up in those similar circumstances that a lot of those kids are facing. So, like, just doing whatever I can and using whatever resources I have to help them, you know, succeed. And, like, you know, a lot of them are in 11th and 12th grade. So just, like, you know, showing them what they could be and, like, using my resources to help them, whether that's, like, you know, back to school drives or, like, going up there to talk to them or, like, you know, they're taking trips to, like, Europe. And, like, she took a bunch of the kids to Japan last year. And just, like, help amplify that and, like, using the brand in any way that I can to help them out.
That's amazing. That's awesome. So, like, I just talked to Brother D, Daryl, and he's doing some amazing things, too. Literally, I just talked to you guys within, like, 2 days of each other. And it's awesome to hear that, like, people giving back, especially to kids.
I think that's more important than anything, man. Like, I was having a conversation this morning, and I was just talking to them about the same thing. It's just, like, you know, obviously making cool clothes and things like that is cool and, like, that's going to pay my bills and make me money or whatever, but it's just, like, I try to use the brand more so to, like, help other people. Like, how do I use this as a platform to, you know, amplify what those scholars are doing over there at that high school? Or, like, you know what I mean? How do we use it as a platform to amplify, you know, resources and help for people that are getting detained by ICE in Los Angeles? Or, like, you know what I mean? Just different things like that and, like, different issues that we're dealing with in the world. And, like, that's how I see Circulate, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
at the end of the day, like, Circulate is a platform to, you know, highlight, amplify, and educate you know, things that I see important through clothing is the medium that I use to, you know, amplify, educate, or circulate whatever that I think is important, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And is there anything, do you have, like, a website or things where, like, maybe, like, donations or people? Because I would love to make sure when we drop this episode, we'll put links to your calls to help.
Honestly, just keep up with me on socials for right now. I'm in the process of possibly starting a nonprofit to, like, help with things like that. But as of right now, I'm just doing it out of goodwill and just using my platform and Circulate's platform to help amplify that stuff. But, amazing. Yeah. I think the school year starts, I believe, next week. So, look out for, I'm going to be helping out these kids a lot and using my brand partnerships and things like that to help them out. So, I'm definitely going to be tapping in with my support system, AKA the internet, to help, you know, with that stuff too. So if you see me post an Amazon list of school supplies,
man,
hop on there, man, and help your boy out. And, like, let's get these kids right.
Yeah, no, that's what's up. I love hearing that because, like you said, there's so much more than just the sneakers, the clothes. Being able to use it as a tool to help people.
And especially kids that look like us, man. Like,
yes.
Like, give them some type of hope or something to look forward to because, you know, you never know. They might be going through it at home and they never, you know what I mean? They haven't got a new pair of sneakers in God knows how long, you know what I mean? I think that kind of stuff is important because, you know, my mom broke her back to get me school supplies and sneakers and clothes and things like that. And I would have never noticed because, you know, she didn't make it a big deal. You know, now that I'm in the position to help and I could be an example of someone that's somewhat successful, you know what I mean? That come from those same circumstances. Like, I want to be that. So that's what I'm doing this year. That's what to look out for.
Man, I hope more people hear this and follow in those kinds of footsteps because that's priceless. Like, again, you don't know what someone's going through and being that beacon, that using your platform for good and not just taking, that is something that I think a lot of people don't understand.
Man, be kind to one another.
Yes.
Don't be, you know what I mean? Like, let's stop fighting on the internet and bashing other people and treating people bad. You don't know what no one's going through.
Yep.
Be having a bad day and, like, you know what I mean? Be kind to one another. I think it's super important, man. And, you know, that's what I try to lead by is kindness. Mm-hmm. You can ask anyone in this world about me 9 times out of 10. They do not have anything bad to say about me because I carry the kindness with me and I treat others how I would like to be treated. And, you know, help one another, man. It don't cost you nothing. If it don't cost you nothing to help somebody else, share your friends' clothing brand. Share your friends' art. Like, share your homies' music. You know what I mean? If you can share somebody else's music that you don't even know, or share somebody else's brand you don't even know, help out your homies, man. And that's what I think it's about. Like, I know community is thrown around and abused, and mm-hmm. and you know, the buzzword of the day, or the but like, really hone in with your community and build that out, man. I think it's super important to connect with your people, and especially people that support you.
Yep. Couldn't have said it any better myself, because that is what it is all about. It gets lost in the shuffle for everyone trying to be on top. Lose the crab out of the barrel mentality, and we got to lift each other up. Like I said, it doesn't hurt to push that little like button, or to share, or to just lend a hand. 100%. Those things don't
Instagram
cost you money.
Made a new feature today. All you got to do is click a button, and it's resharing your homie's reel. So help each other out, man. That's what you got to do. And I think that's just how I grew up, and what I grew up seeing is everyone helping one another. And trying to continue building upon that.
It's perfect. I mean, guys. That's it. Simple as that. I mean, anybody listening, anybody watching, simple as that. I think that's the perfect ending point to our conversation. You guys have heard, you know, Corey's journey from sneakers, skateboarding, fashion, and how he's taking that to help people. Like that we talk about full circle moments. That's what we talk about right there.
Hey,
so, you know, I love it, man. I love it. It's a beautiful thing. And Corey, for those who don't know already, tell everybody how to find you on your socials, websites, anything you want.
Yes, sir. You can find me on across everything except for TikTok is Young Corey, and also at Circulate at Young Corey. And I just started a TikTok. My TikTok is my first and my last name, Corey.populous. And yeah, tap in with your boy, man. Let's have a conversation. You know, I also like to see other people's brands and work. Like, send me your brand. Let me check you out.
There you go.
And yeah, hit me up. I'm around. I got love for everybody that got love for me. And yeah, we gonna keep it rocking.
And he gonna be hitting them TikTok dances in his clothes and in his new drop.
We ain't dancing, man. We ain't got to the dances. But you know, I do like to film day in the life and like BTS on my TikTok, and I think that's been really cool to share that, because
it's awesome.
See, you know what pictures can't do.
Agreed.
But yeah, man, thank you so much for having me on your platform. Like, this means a lot to me, and like, this is really cool. I never really did anything or like a lot of things like this. I've probably done like 3 podcasts in my life. You might be number 4 or 3.
Yes.
I can't remember. But I know Haas is about to be on my butt. So,
oh no, I'm gonna tell him right now, Haas, if you're listening,
I'm coming for you next.
He said, you can tell him no, it's okay. Tell him, just say, I don't want to do it. I'm not joking with you, Haas.
Haas needs you in IRL, so don't worry, Haas. I'm coming for you next.
There you go. There you go.
Don't get it in, man. You're a good dude, and
that's the homie for sure.
So shout out to him. Shout out to you, man. And
thanks, man.
Thank you so much, brother.
Nah, appreciate it, guys. Thank you for listening. Again, make sure you follow Corey. We're going to have all his socials listed out on the episode. We'll make sure we post some of these clips on Instagram as well. But we appreciate you guys. And like, subscribe, all the cool stuff we tell you to do. And thank you. And until next time, see ya.
Hey, y'all. Nick here. One more thing before you take off. Do us a solid and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Check the links in the description to help us keep the show going. And as always, we appreciate you listening. And don't forget to tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a compliment will take you, and we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Peace.